would reach down and touch their bodies and heal. If that's what you see in the big picture, Lord, we trust you with the big picture of life. Our own picture is so narrow and so dim sometimes. Lord, may we trust you today with our future. Thank you for being strong in our lives in the year of 2021, and we're looking forward to the same and even more in 22. Commit this time to you, your word. May it speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, you know, a lot of people think of a new year as time to make resolutions, and I'm not going to diss that. It can be a good thing. But so often we make them without really deeply searching our hearts and what we really need from the Lord. And often we can't keep them. I like what Abe Lincoln says. He says, "I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to what light I have." It's a powerful truth there. So often we go beyond what we're able, and there's nothing wrong with that, but often we can't keep it. But he just says he's not bound to win, and he's not bound, but he is bound to be true, and he's bound to succeed. He's not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to what light I have been given. You know, as I was thinking of a title for a message, I want to be encouraging this morning, because often the beginning of a year, a lot of us wonder what's going to happen. And sometimes we become fearful as we think of what could happen. And then some of us love the challenge of something unknown ahead of us. But you know, as we trust the Lord, he can walk us through whatever we may face. And who knows what we'll face? You know, you look around us and you look at the direction that this country is going, it's crashing. It doesn't look real good. And so some people that I talk to a lot of people as I work, and many of them are scared, very scared, and afraid of what's going to happen. You know, I was thinking about going forward in the power of the Lord, regardless, even if we might have to stand for our faith, which could happen real quickly. There are so many godless people that are running this country and have no use for God. And we could be running scared and frightened. You know, I was looking up, and by the way, the message that I'd like to share was very similar to what Dave talked about and what that verse was quoted, being strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you want to put a title to the message. You know, I was looking up the word terror, and frightened and scared. It's interesting what the dictionary and what medical things I was reading about. But fear, what happens in the brain and body when we are full of fear? Our heart rate and and peripheral blood vessels in the skin, for instance, constrict. Central blood vessels around vital organs dilute to flood them with oxygen and nutrients, and muscles are pumped with blood ready to react. That's one definition. And another one was, what happens to the brain when we shrink in fear? What happens to our bodies? Sometimes it gets out of control. I asked Noah if he would put a picture on the screen of someone in fear and fright. Is that you? Is that me? You know, I'll never forget. Chad probably forgot about this. Years ago, Chad was driving to get his permit, and you won't mind if I share this, Chad, will you? So I'm a father sitting on the other side, and Chad's at the wheel, very inexperienced, trying to learn, and he's driving my little diesel pickup, which you have to shift, and there's not a whole lot of power, but it was a little four-cylinder diesel. I remember driving it, and Chad was being very confident, and I felt like he was overly confident, and as we were coming, we were going fairly fast, and as we were approaching a stop vehicle where I was sitting, it looked like there was going to be a crash. I was so scared, I yelled. I screamed, probably like looking like that guy right there. Ah! And Chad probably don't remember that. And Chad just calmly braked, and lo and behold, we got stopped. Have you ever been so scared that the hair on the back of your neck stands up? Mine has. I could feel it, just something back here. I used to run a truck and deliver. It was a straight job, 5-ton truck that I would drive and make deliveries. And I never forget, I was pulled into this one place to make a delivery. And there, jumping and growling fiercely, was a mother German Shepherd protecting her pups. And I was supposed to get by her to make the delivery. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I just remember sitting there scared to death and nobody was home, but I had to go in and make the delivery. So I prayed that God would give me some wisdom and take away my fear, because I was paralyzed there for a minute. I didn't know what to do. And I had to make the delivery. So the Lord gave me an idea. He just said, create a diversion. And then you can run and make the delivery. So I looked in my lunch bag. What do I have here? And I pulled out half a sandwich. I thought, you know what? I'll gladly sacrifice this sandwich if I can make this delivery. So I remember breaking the sandwich off, and I just threw it with all my might. And the German Shepherd jumped and growled, and he saw the thing flying through the air. And so he ran. And while he was running, I quickly jumped out of the truck, put it in my big heavy tank in my sling, and ran for the house with all my might. And I got in the house. I went, oh. Went down, made the delivery, and then I came up and I was faced with a new fear. He's got the sandwich down. Now what am I going to do? But amazingly, I looked out the window before I threw the door, and there was the German Shepherd happily still searching the ground for more food. And I sneaked out of there with all my, and ran. And threw the tank in the truck and jumped in the truck. And he was still over there sniffing and enjoying his treat. And, you know, he was down already, but he thought maybe there was more. And I was so grateful. But that time, I remember when I ran, it felt like my hair was standing straight up in the back. I was waiting for his teeth to grab my ankles. Anyway, so we all have our moments of fear. And it's amazing what happens to our body. You know, there's times we're paralyzed. We're so fearful. We're so scared that it paralyzes us. Have you ever been that way as the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak to a very godless, very angry man? Have you ever been so intimidated and scared that you're paralyzed, you can't do anything? Well, there's a scripture, and I would just like to encourage us this year to not be intimidated and fearful, but that only comes as we are very much in the Word of God as Joshua was. Now, Joshua, he was a man that took over a very overwhelming position, overwhelming job of leadership of tens of thousands of Israelites, and many of them were not easy to deal with. And there he was facing this tremendous challenge. And we've heard these scriptures many times, but in Joshua, we heard the one, was it Donovan that shared it? Bless you, Jonathan, for sharing that, Donovan, for sharing that verse. Of Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people," that's not an easy job, "to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." And the very next verse is, he says again, "Be strong and very courageous," just emphasizing it. "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful." So right there is something that is tremendous as far as giving us the power and the strength to rise up in moments of being frightened and scared. And here was Joshua. I'm sure that his heart quaked as he thought of the job in front of him. But as the Lord encouraged him here, he just says that, he goes on to say that the word of the Lord would not depart out of his mouth. I'll just continue to read here. "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right, to the left, that you may be successful." Successful. And you know, fear and fright, it can cause us to not be successful as a servant of God. It can strangle us. It can just be a stronghold and we can't get past it. And here, God is encouraging Joshua, "If you carefully obey all of my word, the word that's my servant Moses gave you." And then he says, "Do not turn to the right or to the left, because that takes your focus off of me, that you may be successful wherever you go." And he goes on to say in verse 8, "Do not let the word of the Lord depart out of your mouth." And you know, our country has come to that point where the word of the Lord has departed from the mouth of godless, atheistic men who can't stand the word God, who feel like that's all a bunch of nonsense, and they trust only on themselves. Well, the Lord is saying here, don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth. May it always be in your mouth. And then he goes on to say, meditate on it day and night. And you know, when I'm in the Word and when I'm working throughout the day, there's a courage that it gives me and a strength that I'm often amazed that I normally don't have. I remember lying in the hospital, frightened, not knowing what the COVID thing was going to do to my body. But I remember crying out to God and quoting the Word of God back to Him, praying His Word back. I did that constantly. I was laying there. It was wonderful that I had a lot of scriptures that I hid in my heart, and they kept coming up. and coming up and encouraging me and giving me strength, and my mouth opened and I couldn't stop it. I began sharing, and I'm not saying this for any glory of mine. I'm sharing this to the glory of God, because the power of His Word, when it's in us and fills us and thrills us, and we're constantly meditating on it, and His words constantly pour out of our mouth, that we find courage. It's his word that gives courage, and it's in meditating on it, and it's in hiding it in your heart, so that in moments when it's not before you, it just pours out, and you find yourself talking to God back, talking back to Him through His word. The one scripture that kept coming to me as I laid there, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Those verses ministered so deeply, and I thought, Lord, thank you for these verses. You are my strength, and you are my song, and you are my salvation. And with joy I can reach into the well of your word and share it. Share of my salvation. With joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation, as Isaiah 12 says it so beautifully. And those verses gave me so much strength, and I found myself not able to keep my mouth shut, and all fright and intimidation and all those things that keep us from opening our mouth was gone. I shared with the nurses, I prayed over them, and I shared with the doctors shamelessly. Used to be I would be ashamed, and I would be scared, and I'd cringe, and I found myself being bold for God. And that's why God used Joshua, because he became so bold for the Lord, because he was constantly the word of the Lord coming out of his mouth and the meditation of his heart was powerful. And he goes on to say in that passage, "Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful in your walk, not so much in riches and wealth, but the wealth and riches of God, the wealth and riches of his Spirit pouring into your heart and giving you power to rise above fear, to rise above terror." And then in verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you?" Here he is again saying it back to Joshua. And this is what he's saying to us today. Yes, 2022 could be a very time of paying a high cost for our commitment to Christ. No matter what the cost is, he says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." In Exodus 14:10, I was so impacted by these verses as I was thinking about terror and about being frightened and about being scared. And there's so often we are. And sometimes for a moment our eyes just become on ourselves and our circumstance, and we don't look up. But Exodus 14:10 says the Israelites looked up, but not up at God. They looked up and out, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The scripture uses the word, "they were terrified." Well, you know, they were trapped. Here come the Egyptian army, and Weldon just shared some of this in his message not long ago. And, you know, we use these stories a lot, but we forget the impact and the powerful message sometimes. And it's good to go back It's good to stir up our pure mind, as Peter said, that I might stir up your pure minds. And I'm going to say these things to stir you up. But here they were marching after them, and they were terrified. And it's the Bible says in Exodus 14, chapter or verse 10, and cried out to the Lord. And then here's the beautiful scripture, and here's how God used Moses, and he longs to use us in scary moments. And we have a wonderful opportunity right in our hands. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." He gave wonderful direction to them in their fear. I love what the one translation, the International Version, says: "Stand firm. Don't panic." Do we stand firm in those moments? I search my own heart. There's many times I haven't. And I've run from a situation, scared, not trusting the Lord. And here's Moses giving beautiful direction in a moment of fright, in a moment of terror. He says, "Don't panic. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance from the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? Stand firm, don't panic. And look to God. Look to His Word for answers and solutions. And Moses goes on to say, "The Egyptians, your enemy," and often in the face of our enemy, we get scared. "Your enemy that you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you." Have you been so submitted and trusting and resting in the Lord and let Him fight the battle for you? The Lord will fight for you. Then there's another phrase here that really caught my attention. "You need only to be still." Instead of going into hysterics, as we often find ourselves, which fright and terror will cause. When we are fearful, full of terror, scared, discouraged, frightened, panicking, we become blind to what God wants to do to help us, to deliver us. The enemy loves to blind us with fear. The enemy loves to strangle us so that we can't even be useful and fruitful for God at that moment and allow His power to pour out and He be glorified. Instead, people just see you and they don't see God. He loves to blind us so that we feel helpless. But when we are helpless, that's when we need to look to God and say, "God, you fight this one. There's nothing I can do. Help me to rest." As Psalm 37 says, "Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea," as Psalm 46 says. And then David says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the heathen. For the Lord God is with you." Beautiful passage. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. And who knows what's going to happen in 2022, but we don't need to fear. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help, which means He's always current in His help toward us. Sometimes He chooses different ways to help us, and we say, "God, where are you?" In the end, He does help. Sometimes He wants us to grow through conflict, to grow us. to grow us up, to help us to become stronger. And so for us to shrink from conflict is not God's heart. You know, I was reading some stories from Watchman Nee. I love Watchman Nee. I have enjoyed so many of his writings. But there was one time when Watchman Nee, he was a missionary in China. How many of you know Watchman Nee? Yeah, there's a few of you. Just a very deep man of God. But he was ministering one weekend in China at a college. And here comes a professor, one who knows it all, up to him. I'm challenged with what Watchman Nee did. He didn't, just because the man was full of highly educated, he did not shrink away or was intimidated. He just simply said, the man came up to him and said, let me just read it to you. I probably won't get it right. The man came up to him and this man was a man that was from America, and now he was a college professor of psychology in China. He claimed he had made up his mind about religion and now was in the habit of telling his students that he could explain all so-called conversions on purely psychological grounds. There's nothing to it. You can just look at it and figure it all out with psychology. Psychology is all that matters. Before the meetings began, I went to call on him, and this is Watchman Nee, and presented Christ to him. Instead of cringing back and staying away from the man, he went to him. And so he presented Christ, and out of politeness, the professor, he had to listen for a while, but finally he smiled. "It is no good preaching to me," he said. "I don't believe there is a God." "Even if you do not believe," Watchman Nee said, "in a God, just pray right now. You will discover something." "Pray," he laughed, "when I don't even believe in a God? How could I?" he exclaimed. Then I said, "Though you cannot find a ladder up to God, it does not alter the fact that he has come down to find you. So you can just pray." He laughed again, but I still urged him to pray. Watchman Nee was very persistent. I think sometimes I would have quit by then. He just kept saying it. He said, "But I still urged him to pray." He goes on to say, "I have a prayer that you can pray." I said, "Say this, O God, if there is no God, then my prayer is useless, and I have prayed in vain. But if there is a God, then somehow make me know it." "But," he replied, "what has this hypothetical God got to do with Jesus Christ? Where does Christianity come in?" And Watchman Nee told him, just to add a sentence to his prayer, asking God to show him this also. And Watchman Nee says, "I explained that I was not asking him to admit that there was a God. I was not asking him to admit anything. There was but one thing and one thing only that I ask of him. He must be honest. His heart must be in his prayer. It must not be just be an empty repeating of words." I was not sure that I had accomplished anything. But when I went away, I left with him a Bible. The next day, at the end of the first meeting of my campaign, Watchman Nee goes on to say, I asked any who had been saved to stand up. The first one to do so was this professor. I went to him afterward. "Has anything happened?" "Much," he replied. "Now I'm saved." "How did it happen?" I asked. "After you left yesterday, I picked up the Bible and opened it to John's Gospel. My eye caught the words, the day after, the next day, and the day after. I thought to myself, this writer knows what he is talking about. He saw it all. It is like a diary. After that, I thought about what you had said to me. I tried to see if there was a catch in it, or if you were beguiling me in any way. I went over it point by point, and I could see no flaw in it. It all seemed perfectly sound. Why should I not pray as you suggested? But suddenly the thought came to me, what if there is in fact a God? Where do I stand then? Having told my students that there is nothing in religion at all, and that psychology accounts for everything, am I willing to admit to them that I have been wrong all this time? I weighed this carefully. Nevertheless, I felt I had to be honest about it. For if, after all, there really was a God, I would be a fool not to believe in him. So I knelt down and prayed. And as I prayed, I just knew there was a God. How I knew, I cannot explain, but I just knew it. And then I remembered the Gospel of John that I had read and how it seemed to be written by an eyewitness. And I knew that if that was so, then Jesus was the Son of God, and I became saved. What a powerful... God did the work. Watchman Nee planted the seed fearlessly. That's all God asks us to do today. Plant the seed fearlessly, not be ashamed, and persist. I was amazed at his persistence. A lot of us give up too quick, but he just kept persisting. Pray. And just encouraging him with all kinds of things, even though the man was scoffing him. God, and Watchman Nee goes on to say, God will always honor a hunger for reality, a heart with honesty, a humility to face the truth. What confidence this brings to know that God has spoken. And you know, that's often what happens to us in the moment of being scared and strangled by intimidation and fear. We lose our confidence in Christ. And nothing good comes out sometimes because of that. And the enemy loves that. He loves to bring us to defeat in those situations. He longs to keep us, because we are fighting a battle that's not of flesh and blood. We are fighting a battle of the spirit world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, the principalities, demonic things, and they do everything they can to shut us up. But if we have the Word of God not departing out of our hearts, and we're in meditation, and our relationship with God is growing every day, and instead of reacting in moments of conflict, we ask God, how can I learn from this? Teach me. And sometimes it's painful. It's not easy. I love the story of David and Goliath, and here again is an age-old story. But every time I read it, I just get just such encouraging insight. So here is David, just a little scrawny guy, little youth. And here is a huge man. The Bible says that when Goliath rose, and then I just add this, because this is probably the way it looked for David. As he rose, it said, and Goliath rose to his feet. He probably just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until David could have been trembling and so scared he could have run the other direction. But instead of running the other direction, you know what happened? The Bible says he ran. He ran toward Goliath. He ran. And he says, you come at me with a sword and a spear. I have something so much better. I have the Lord of hosts within my heart, and he's going to fight my battle today. Let me just read how it is worded in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. It's David had to look up. He was just this little guy. He had to look up to this huge giant, but it did not scare him. The words that came out were, "The Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands today." What a powerful message to us today. Don't run this way. Run toward the enemy with God in your heart. Because God has something so much more powerful. And you can run with confidence. Don't let the enemy strip you of your confidence in the Lord. Remember who you are in Christ. David remembered who he was in God. And that took away his fear. He remembered. So often I forget who I am in Christ. And then I don't do what God has called me to do. And when God shows me in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 who I am in Christ, I am blessed. The list is powerful to go through 1 and 2 of Ephesians and write down who you are. Blessed. Can't think of all the words right now. They don't come to me, but you're rich. You're the Son of God. You're one of His sons. And you're loved. As Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith He loved us." You're rich. You're loved. And it goes on and on. There's so many encouraging words of who you are in Christ. If you get discouraged and you feel like you have nothing to give and there's no confidence, look who you are. Go to Ephesians and look who you are. And you find yourself sitting in heavenly places, encouraged. And it takes the fear. But then also remember that God is your salvation. And the Lord Jehovah is your strength and your song. You don't have to be afraid. And you can draw from the wells of salvation. One of my key verses that I want to put up for, and this resolution is not a hard resolution. And you put this verse up too in your heart, or memorize it, or put it on your wall. 1 Samuel 12:24. I love this scripture. "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you." When you look over 2021, did He do great things for you? When you consider that, Samuel is saying, obey, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. And when you stop to think of the great things He's done for you, there's a confidence that He puts deep within you. And serve Him, and you want to serve Him with all your heart. Serve Him in truth. In conclusions, I would like to just end with Romans chapter 13. I love this passage, and it's just encouraging me in 2022 to get off my seat and do something for God. Romans 13, verse 11. "And that knowing the time is, and that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I love that, Dave, about the light of God shining out of our hearts. "Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in 2022, fearlessly," I added that, "but as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, And verse 14, and here's the verse I really love. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't be distracted with the lust of your flesh in 2022, but put on Jesus and seek with him, for him with all your heart. Don't get involved in strife and fighting, which often we do. Often it happens in the church of God. Oh, God forbid. And may we together encourage one another rather than fight, and love one another with a fervent love, as Peter says. And build one another. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Is there anything that anybody has that you'd like to share, a testimony of something that God did for you in 2021 that just encouraged you so much and helped you propel forward in your walk with Christ? Or if there was a great victory that you experienced as you look back and as you look at what... it's good sometimes. And I guess one reason why I put, or this message was on my heart, the beginning hours of January 1st, my wife and I discussed a lot of things that happened in 2021. And then we looked at each other, now we're not going to stay there and live there. We're going to go forward from here. But as Samuel said, as I read to you that verse in Samuel about looking back and seeing all the things that God did, it's a good thing, but then don't stay there. Allow that to give you confidence to step out. Step into the water, as George Johnson in the cathedral sang. Anybody?
Thank you, Jim, for sharing today. And I just pray that God continues to give you strength to continue the work until your work is done.
Thank you.
And when that time comes, that God would raise up another
Amen.
In your place. But
Amen.
I was just blessed with what you shared today, and just want to testify to that. Now, there's Praise no reason God. For fear Amen. When we're centered in God's will. And when our focus is on him and not on the things around us.
Amen.
And I was thinking a little bit of starting a new year. My wife asked me, I think it was yesterday, well, what's your, you have any resolutions for the new year? And I gave her one. It was half-hearted, not really intentional. But I was challenged by that a little bit. And while you were speaking today, I just had to think, I want to grow spiritually.
Amen.
And I just wrote down a list of things that are helpful in growing. And it's not a full list, but and a lot of this I heard from another minister. But reading the Bible, meditation, and praying, speaking, witnessing, Amen. Testifying, sharing your testimony.
Amen.
Big confidence builder.
Yes.
And writing down ideas and thoughts so you can come back and think of them. And memorizing scripture.
Amen.
And
Amen.
singing praises.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I just resolved this year, I want to spend more time in prayer. I just want to pick one, and I know I'm weak in that area.
Amen.
So I just want to put that out because it, in a way, of just holding myself accountable.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
over here, Sam Joey.
Two verses that really stood out to us in this past week were a couple of my sister's favorite verses. One was Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" And then also Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We really don't have a reason to fear. And
amen.
One of the songs that was playing just minutes before she passed was "Living Hope." And death powerful. Has lost its grip on me was just very real. And we shared a little moment of worship around her bed. We were
praise
facing death, but it didn't really have the grip on us. And I guess as I look over this last year, and especially the difficulties that she experienced and we experienced along with her, it just seems a fitting way to end the year, knowing that she's finally safely home. And that was such a thought of victory that we were able to walk with her to the end of the year.
Yes, we rejoice with you and yet sorrow. Amen. Thank you, Joy.
I'm sorry, I really did mean to also say thank you so very much to our church family here for all the support and the love, the flowers, the food, just everything. It meant so much to us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I want to remember if we could pray for James and Hannah. They had to go to Michigan today
yes.
for their grandmother's funeral.
Amen.
But this is actually, within a week, Hannah lost 3 grandparents. So pray for them. It's been a hard
Amen.
Time for them.
That's a lot, yes.
Funeral will be tomorrow.
Let's remember James and Hannah. They've gone through a lot. They've lost 3 in a short time frame. Right here.
Thank you for sharing that. That blessed me, especially that story in China. Just to get him to pray, and then just revealed unto him with God doing the work.
Yeah, amen.
That was a very inspiring story.
Amen.
And I also just appreciate you preaching about the truth, and that may seem obvious, but what I mean by that is, like, it's what I'm teaching my children to do, especially in the case of, like, fears at night or something, to remember the truth.
Amen.
To believe the truth.
Yes.
In such a way that it takes hold in your life.
Amen.
And then fear doesn't have control of you. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Titus.
And then I just wanted to mention, too, this is kind of old news at this point, but I didn't want to miss thanking you all for your help and support while Greta was sick. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Keep
praying for her that she'll gain all the strength she needs to bring forth that child. So thank you.
We will do that. We'll lift Greta, we'll lift you up in prayer, and Titus. Amen. Anyone else? You know, I was thinking about the high cost that we may be called to face. You know, I was reading some from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, God used him as an object lesson to the children of Israel, trying to call them back because they had walked away from God. They were in captivity with the Chaldeans and just not serving the Lord. And so God is calling Ezekiel to be an object lesson. One of the object lessons that he called Ezekiel to do was to watch his wife be taken from him. And as I read that passage, And God did take his wife away from him, using it as an illustration to the children of Israel. And there was Ezekiel struggling through all of that, losing his wife just to be a powerful message to a rebellious people who didn't want God. God went on to say, you know, I want Israel to change. I want to take your stony hearts and put a new heart of flesh in them toward me. And he was reminding Ezekiel of that. Read it sometime. That's part of Ezekiel. It's Ezekiel 24:15 through 27, where there was an actual object lesson of his wife dying before his eyes, and all of Israel witnessed it. But using that as an illustration to them, it was a powerful. And, you know, Ezekiel paid a high cost there to be a servant of God. But sometimes God calls us to that. But he helped Ezekiel walk through that. Another time he had Ezekiel as an object lesson by being tied on his side for a long time and barely having anything to eat. And it was all as an illustration of to the children of Israel about being in exile. And while they're in exile, that God longs for them to look to him and away from the captivity of the moment. So there were so many things. Ezekiel is a very deep, powerful book. Read it. It really does talk a lot about a high cost sometimes that we may experience as servants of God. But God is there to walk us through each moment. I will walk with through you in the fire. We know that scripture in Isaiah 43. I will walk with you in the flood. I will never leave you or forsake you. And he kept reminding Ezekiel of that, and he wants us to remember, no matter what we go through, he's beside us. All right, let's remember the prayer request here of James and Hannah and of David as he recovering from congestion. Continue to lift Joy and her family up as they went through that loss. James and Hannah went through tremendous losses of three. And pray for Greta as she can regain complete strength. And God would bless them and her, Titus and her, as they go forward with giving birth to a child. We'll pray to that end. So let's rise for prayer. Chad, I was wondering if you could lead us in prayer and remembering those requests.
For the loss of loved ones, God, would you comfort those? And God, even in the grief, that you would continue to strengthen and to comfort and to reassure and to help them process through that, God. Also for the sickness, God, that's among us, God, for recovery, for health, for healing. God, all in prayer for all of us, for courage to face a new year through you and your will and what you want to accomplish. Help us to be willing. Pray that you would do a deeper work in all of us. God, we just lift up these needs before you, God, and pray that you would sustain each one through the week. And we just ask that you would protect each one today and in the upcoming week, God, from the distractions of the enemy, that we would look to you. And we thank you for Jesus today. And we just ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Dismissed.